Sharon? Yes, I need those. And then from there, you get Facebook.
Nobody really want fuego. Messiah will bring fire down worse than Waco. Why you some coffee and Lego? Your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of meso. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Messiah ain't playing no wagos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Even with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or bury in the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all the wicked atrocities. They owe for all their wicked atrocities. They owe from San Diego to Trinidad Tobago. I'm spitting these words so all Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't want to get left. Forsake your sin so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Fuego. Brother, you don't want that fuego.
Hey. Fuego.
Fuego. Nah,
hey,
sister, you don't want that fuego. Nah,
hey,
fuego.
Hey,
fuego.
Fuego.
Nah, nobody really want fuego.
Nah,
nobody really want fuego.
Fuego.
Nah, the one that's super negro. You don't want that fuego when destruction comes. The Most High is going to plead with all nations and sending his son to murder everyone that don't follow his commandments.
Yes, after the chorus.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour. The Lord's 144K. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Shalom, Captain Apari.
Shalom, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, Officer Solomon.
Solomon.
Solomon. All right, I'm glad you braided your hair again. You look less threatening. Oh, praises. Yeah, so I don't know how it sounded. We got the producers.
With the rough cut?
That's a rough cut.
With the rough cut.
And he's there, like, jamming, like he got
the turntable.
He didn't
even fade it, man. He just
fade it. I know, terrible.
Talk, niggas.
No, I did fade it. I did, all right? I just faded it real quick. I didn't do a slow fade. I just...
A chop fade.
He did the chop that he went, chop. It's like that. We're working on it, all right. Okay, Abiel, I'm working on it. Oh, wow. All right. So this week we said we would do part two. We would discuss the toxic masculinity topic again.
Yes.
All right. We want to continue on with that a little bit more. So just a little bit of a recap. We were going over how toxic masculinity is a misnomer, right? So we were talking about how when you look at masculinity as a definition alone, right? So let's just review it, right? I'm going to pull it up. Masculinity. Qualities or attributes regarded as characteristic of men. Simple enough, right? But then you look up the definition of toxic, right? And it says poisonous. Poisonous. So they're saying that the qualities and characteristics associated with men are poisonous. So we say that that's a misnomer, because basically what we're really trying to point out is that to say that characteristics of a man are poisonous goes into the narrative of, right, and we're always going to bring it to a focus of our people, is everybody else, this stuff is for them, right? Like, they can do all these things, they can be in all this confusion. But that this whole toxic masculinity was something that was really kind of a add-on to the feminist movement.
That's right.
And we understand that the feminist movement is a vehicle to push eugenics and everything else behind that. But more specifically, it's definitely strongly targeted towards our people. And what I mean our people, we're talking about the Israelites, who are the so-called Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, all right? Today, that's what they're known as today, because nobody in the world today is running around saying we are Israelites,
right,
except us, right? So, you know, there's some confusion between Jew, Jewish, and all this other stuff. We're not going to go too far left into the confusion about Semitic peoples, right? Or Shemitic peoples. And there's a ton of Shemitic peoples, right? The Arabs, the East Indians,
right?
Asians. The Asians are Semitic.
Caucasians
are Semitic. So, you know, we're not going to jump too far into that. Obviously, there's been a lot of things floating around in the media about Black Hebrew Israelites, which is another crafty way to try to water down the whole identity. That's anti-Semitic, actually.
Another oxymoron.
No. But like calling us Black Hebrew Israelites is pretty. Yeah, it is an oxymoron because it's a redundancy, right? Because to be Hebrew is to be Black, right? So to say Black Hebrew Israelites is unnecessary.
Yep.
It's just the Hebrew Israelites. But more so, it's kind of anti-Semitic when you kind of don't acknowledge our true nationality, right? Our true bloodline, right? Which is Israelites. But anyway, it's targeted towards our people more than anything else. So I'm going to take a few minutes and just post some of the links, and then I'll go back and just read a little bit about toxic masculinity. And then if you guys have any comments that you want to bring out on it, there was some stuff that I was going to pull up to and read and so on. So
yeah, just real quick. So the Bible, okay, is a history book. Okay, there's no two ways about it. And to prove it, every major ruling empire is in the Bible. Okay, and the Bible, in its essence, when it was how it was made to be published with 80 books versus 66, also has another great ruling empire, which is talked about ad nauseum and with great pride, the Greek.
Oh, that's right.
Empire, right? So I say that to say this, because it's a history book, and the proof to prove that is that every ruling empire is in it, it has to go without saying that the nations that are walking the earth today are still in it. Right. And we know, OK, by historical, geographical, archaeological fact that there's 18 nations and 18 nations only, according to the Bible, that are walking the earth today. So the $1 million question is, where do the Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans fit in? OK. And when you read the in Genesis, in Chronicles, OK, it covers the genealogies, because what people fail to remember is that all of the population on the earth was destroyed as a result of the flood. Okay. And only 8 people survived. Okay. You had Noah and his wife, his children. Okay. Was Shem, Japheth, and Ham, and their wives. And the earth was repopulated from those 3 men. Not from and his wife, but from his 3 sons. So you have no choice but to look at the Bible to try to find your existence as a Puerto Rican, Hispanic, African American, a Native American, Jamaican, Haitian. You have to ask yourself, if all life started again after the flood, where do we fit in there? Because every nation is covered in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we fit in? So to elaborate on what Captain Yashu was saying about the so-called movement of being anti-Semitic, which it's really Shemitic, meaning it came from Shem. Mm-hmm. Okay. You had a lineage that came from Shem. You had a lineage that came from Ham. You had a lineage that came from Japheth. Okay. That could be a topic for another class, but basically if you came from Ham, okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's 5 African nations which fall under Mizraim, Phut, Cush, right? Ham, and I think I'm missing one.
Canaan. Those were the sons of Ham.
Those were the sons of Ham. Right. That's 5 there came from there. So you came from those progenitors, then you're a African, what you call today. Okay, which is again is another falsehood, because we know that Africa was named after Leo Scipio Africanus, a Roman general who defeated and conquered and overtook that land. Okay, and then you have a Japheth, which are basically the Hawaiians, Samoans, okay, and even the ones that live in the aisles, okay. So that now you guys are, so if you're not any of those two that I just mentioned, right? Process right. of elimination, you fall right. under Shem. Okay, Captain just brought out East Indians, Elam, Ishmael, Arabs, and they know this. I've spoken to East Indians, I've mentioned that before, and so-called Arabs, and they know that their progenitor, their forefather is Ishmael, the Arabs, yep. and that Elam mm-hmm. is their forefather. They know that, and they're very proud about it, and they know that we come from Shem. From Jacob. They know that the so-called blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, I've had conversations with them back in New York. And they know, and they looked at me like, how do you know that? You know? So
how can you, being such right. a base people, know such great things?
Exactly. Exactly. So I say all that to say this based on I'm gonna piggyback right back into the topic. So there's a lot of falsehoods that we have been taught. And this is just another falsehood for the next generations that are up and coming, okay, to be brought down, the men to be brought down low, okay, but we, okay, and prophecy is not going to allow that to happen, okay, and we as Israelite men, prophets of the Most High God, is not going to allow that to happen, because that's all out of order. If the men if the men are effeminate, then that means somebody is superior,
mm-hmm.
and that is confusion. According to the Bible, just real quick, I'll give it back to you. I don't know if you're done yet or not, but give me 1 Corinthians 14. I think it's 33. All right. That's totally against the Most High's plan and what the Bible clearly says. OK, there's no confusion in the Bible. OK, here's the scripture that's going to prove. Okay.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints.
Okay, so he's not the author of confusion, number one. Number two, it says, but of peace. Coming out with this agenda and these agendas, that's not bringing peace. That's actually bringing tumult. Okay, that's bringing division. There's no peace with division. Okay, because all it's bringing is confusion, and there's no peace with confusion. So read it one more time. Sorry, but a lot of people probably didn't know this was even in the Bible.
For God is not the author of confusion.
Wait, read it again. So where are we? In the New Testament, right?
This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33.
New Testament, the writing of Paul. Go ahead.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
And give me Ecclesiastes 7:29, and I'll give it back to Cap so he can get started, okay? So we know he's not the author of confusion. So this next verse is going to prove that men, okay, number one, that masculinity is not toxic. It was designed from the beginning for a reason by the Most High God, to keep order, to keep peace, okay? Because you're never going to have peace if the woman's over you as a man. You're not. It's just not biologically, spiritually, and all those other adjectives conducive. Go ahead.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright.
Upright. Not as a homosexual, not as the lesser person in the house, in a relationship, in a marriage. Go ahead.
But they have sought out many inventions.
This is an invention. And that's the main point of that scripture, the whole scripture. But that bottom point goes right into the class. They had done what?
They have sought out many inventions.
Many inventions. Guess what? Calling masculinity toxic, there's an agenda behind it. There's an underlying thing behind it. Okay? It's what?
They have sought out many inventions.
It's an invention. It's an invention created by our oppressors, by the ruling people right now, who we know them as Caucasian.
So it says traditional stereotypes of men as socially dominant, along with related traits such as misogyny and homophobia, can be considered toxic. There's no such thing as homophobia. That's an invention.
Right.
All right. Homophobia, there is no such thing as homophobia. That is an invention, like the scripture that we just brought out now. Because the Bible clearly, get me the law on homosexuality, the Bible clearly tells you that homosexuality is wrong and it's a sin. So to bring that out and then to call that homophobic is to go against God's word, right? So if you don't have a belief in God, or you want to believe in your own gods and something like that, then there's really not a discussion for me to have with you, right? But if you have a belief in the Bible and you're going to come out and talk about homophobia, that's a made up thing, right? So just go ahead, let's bring out a law on homosexuality.
This is the book of Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death.
Right. And in the old covenant, in the law of animal sacrifice, okay, blood had to be spilled for that sin. Now under Christ, you can repent of those things. All right. So that's a law on homosexuality. And if you have another one that you wanted to bring? No. Is that the one we're going to?
Yeah. That's
okay.
That's...
All right. Now that one only mentions men. Let's get Romans 1:26 so we can talk about how it even says women, right? And there's more in Leviticus 18, right? That's where it talks about sexual immorality, where it talks about, you know, not having one of your, like a sister and a wife or whatever, a sister and her sister laying down together. But because I like to go to New Testament, because a lot of people say, oh, that's the Old Testament, right? So let's bring this one out in Romans 1. Go ahead.
The book of Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie?
Who changed the truth of God into a lie? Well, basically all these people who made these inventions, this invention called homophobia, and to now try to find a way. See, what happens is if they can't gainsay the Bible, then they just throw the Bible out.
That's right.
And they'll just say, well, you know, that's BS, that's hogwash, right? No, I got to be careful with my because I don't want to get banned.
Hogwash.
It's hogwash. Malarkey.
Malarkey. Stop the malarkey.
So read it again. Who changed the truth of God into a lie?
Who changed the truth of God into a lie?
Come on.
And worshipped and served the creature more than the creator.
And worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. Meaning lovers of them own selves, right? Mm-hmm. More than lovers of God. And that's the world that we live in, right? Like I was bringing out the age of decadence.
That's right.
Which is basically the beginning of the decline of the current empire, because all types of morals are thrown out. Little by little, these things are stripped away, and then what are you left with, right? So homophobia being a lie. Come on, read.
Who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affection.
So many, because of this, he says, all right, you're never going to be able to recover from that. I'm going to give you up to those vile affections, right? Where you won't repent of that sin. Come on.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Because even their women did change their natural use to that which is against nature. Meaning what? That it encompasses women as well when it comes to the homosexuality. Is there more on that?
The next one is about the men, verse 27.
Go ahead.
And likewise, also the men.
So not only is the New Testament, it's mentioned in there, but it encompasses both sexes. So you pervy men who like woman on woman sex, that's a sin. All right. Come on.
Leaving the natural use of the woman.
And then it says, what's the natural use of the woman? It's for sex. It was made that way, right? Her genitals were made to match up with yours.
That's right.
To create these things, right? You can't put two keyholes don't open the lock. You know what I'm saying? It's lock and key. Two keyholes don't open the lock. And then the other natural uses, be fruitful and multiply, right? So science now lets you have surrogates. And there were surrogates in the Old Testament, but it wasn't some scientific thing. You took a concubine or you took another wife,
right?
And you went and you did that. Not to say that, you know, you can't use artificial insemination or whatever, but don't go putting that baby into somebody else's womb. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that you can use fertility treatments and things like that. There's no sin in that. Like, there's no scripture that says that's unlawful. But Don't, there's spirits involved, right? Don't go putting that stuff in somebody else's womb.
Right, back then.
Don't go taking somebody else's semen.
Right, back then, like you said, you got a concubine. That was
right.
That was your science.
Right, that's how they did it. That's how they did it back then, right? So it says the natural. So this is covering the two natural uses. Read that from the top again about the men.
And likewise, also the men.
And likewise, also the men. So it said women on women is wrong, right? Come on.
Leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust toward one another.
And it's lust-based because this is why it started with it. And it said vile affections. Affections, not I was born this way. It's affections, meaning it's something that comes from within you that you desire, right? Not some brain thing that has you realigned wrong. There's a natural use and a natural order. The scripture tells you God is man-made upright, meaning all things according to order and structure. But then it says the women were given up to vile affections, and it says even the men, it says, with their lust, burning in their lust to do this, to let you know that it's a lustful thing. Is that in another verse?
Men with men working that which is unseemly.
Working that which is unseemly.
And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet.
And it says receiving in themselves that recompense with it, meaning if they don't repent of that thing, right? And in this case, he was saying there's some that they'll be given up into those affections. There's going to be a reward for those, and it's a justified reward,
right?
Right. And it's something that God is going to dish out to them, which is they're not going to obtain the kingdom of heaven. Now, the mechanism, how that happens, what the judgment is, and how that thing boils down, I'll refrain from saying that because then people are going to say we're leading people into all types of evil. That's God's fiery judgment, right? What do they call it? An eschatology, because it deals with judgment and death and fire and all this other stuff. But that's what the Bible says. All right. So so right away, we can take that homophobia out as being a toxic thing. Mm-hmm. That's a lie. There's no homophobia. All right. It's just, listen, this is what God says, and you need to come up out of that.
It's not homophobic. It's the natural use.
Right. It's the natural use. Exactly.
Also,
right.
And also, okay. If going into the verse 32, it also goes into anybody who agrees with that thing.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, let's bring that out, too, so we can understand that. Go ahead.
Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Now. Again, because I need to, right? It seems like some people want to latch on to that stuff. This is the same Bible. This is the same revered New Testament with what many call the father of the New Testament and our brother Paul in the book of Romans saying, read this part again.
Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death.
They which commit some things are worthy of death. But it said the judgment of God, not by our hand. So, yes, we can bring those type of things out, and we will bring those type of things out and not worry about, oh, well, you know, because you preach this, this is what inspires people to do that thing. That's BS. It's the same thing for those of you who throw your support behind Trump and you get upset when people say, well, Trump's pushing this narrative. Now, his thing is not biblically based. He's pushing his views and people run to that, mm-hmm. right? These white supremacist groups are pushing their views that have nothing to do with the Bible and people run to that. This is the same Christian Bible that you have Christian people that have so-called Christian people that have gone on record to say that because we teach the eschatology, which the last book in the New Testament does teach about death, destruction, and judgment, because we teach that, that inspires people to go ahead and do their own judgment? No. How are we to be accountable for behaviors like that?
This scripture is super heavy because people want to run to the book of Tupac and be quick to say, only God can judge me.
Right.
No, only God can bring the judgment.
Right.
But he set up judges on the earth to come bring you the laws.
And I like that you make that distinction, Cap, because that only God will bring that judgment. Mm-hmm. And if somebody doesn't understand that, that's not our – listen, you have people who – this is what the birth of denominations of Christianity stems from that very thing and that very
right.
rationale.
Right.
Because some people believe it was supposed to be one way. Others were supposed to believe it was supposed to be another. But they still supposedly have a belief in the Bible. In the New Testament, Paul says that this stuff was worthy of judgment. Right? Read it again.
Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are
the
worthy of
the judgment of
death.
God is what we read in Leviticus
That's
earlier, right?
right? Yep.
So it says, so knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit some things are worthy of death. Now, come on.
Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Now, when it says have pleasure in them, so you have some that actually do it, and then you have some that are for it. I am pro this. I am pro that. It's love is love, and I'm okay with these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you shouldn't have gay friends,
that's
right? Unless you're rebuking them and telling them that they need to repent to that.
That's
stuff.
Why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, and we read on down, he says, he names these things that will keep you from inheriting the kingdom of God. He says, and such were some of you. Because me back in the world, although I didn't partake in these activities.
You had probably gay friends. And I
would say, well, as long as they don't do anything to me,
right.
You know, it's fine. It's fine.
I was the same way.
You know,
right.
we had some
right.
in our circles, and it was like, hey, just don't ever do that to me.
Yeah,
hey,
right, exactly.
You,
they
and
understood.
Right.
And that was it.
Don't ever do it around me. That's
right, right. So we all fell under this same scripture
right
here.
Yeah, right. And we were able to pull ourselves out of that, right?
Once, and understand the difference.
And understand the judgment and the
right.
difference in that,
right,
too.
Right.
Right?
Check this out. So Paul, right, people are quick to accept Paul's writings,
quick.
Right, because he's came for the Gentiles, for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here, number one, he was not condemning. He was pointing out, like we do, that according to the scriptures,
right,
these things are wrong, okay, are wrong. But they're okay with him when it comes to that everyone could be saved, that he was the one that brought everyone under Christ, okay? But when we bring this out, they don't like this. That's hypocritical. You can't sift through the Bible, sift and sort, and say, well, I like this, but not like that. No.
Hey, that's a heavy point, Gap, because when you jump to verse 20,
mm-hmm.
it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. The things that are clearly understood by things were made is like Kevin said, two keyholes can't go together and unlock the lock.
Right.
It's clearly evident that a man and a woman were made upright to be with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then so the judgment for those things that come from God is death, because there's no gray area with the Most High God. It's just white or black.
The Bible calls it vile affection.
Right.
Right. The world calls it, you know what? I don't like I didn't have any luck with men. So that's why I'm going to go ahead and go to woman. Let me tell you something.
Love is love.
I got a lot of experience this from a career perspective, okay, meaning from a law enforcement perspective. I used to hear all the time in the world, well, the reason why I'm a lesbian, okay, and I can say that word, right?
That's
a good word.
That's the proper
reason,
term.
The reason why I'm a lesbian is because men didn't treat me right. And in a lesbian relationship, a woman knows what a woman wants and treats them. That is so fugazi and so BS. Because most of the domestic violence disputes that I went to, the jobs,
mm-hmm.
were homosexual or lesbian relationships. Why? Because they used that as a gateway to promiscuity.
Right.
And now you come home after being with another woman or another man. Guess what that's going to cause? Domestic violence.
Right, right. And it's not just that. You have to understand something. We've spoken about the divine order, right? Let's get that real quick in 1 Corinthians 11 and 3, right? And let's show the order of the household, right? And it's a divine order because what determines divinity? God.
That's right.
Not man, not us,
mm-hmm.
not some council that sits
right.
down and says this is canon and this isn't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God determines divinity.
That's right.
So the words in the Bible is what we must hold to, right? Anything else is those lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, all right? So what that subtly does by pushing the Sodom agenda is not only propagates more lust and lustful behavior, but it puts us where we start to stray away from that divinity and from that order. And when you stray from that order, there's a domino effect that comes with it, all right? And it starts with the home. A strong family, a strong marriage, a strong home is what starts to build a strong nation, right? So go ahead, read that real quick.
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3.
Yeah, contrary wise, I'm going to tell you something. Toxic means poisonous. They're saying masculinity is poisonous, right? And what's poisonous is when you try to destroy the family structure as it should be, as God intended it to be. Come on, read that.
Verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
The head of every man is Christ. This is the divine order in the New Testament by our brother Paul. The head of every man is Christ Jesus. He is over every man. Come on.
And the head of the woman is the man.
And the head of the woman is the man. The head of the woman is the man. All right? So you have God, you have Christ, you have man, you have woman. That's the divine order. When you take the man out of the picture, or you take the woman out of the picture, what you create is confusion. and a break against the order, right? There's a disturbance in the force when you do that thing,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Everybody's in Star Wars mode, right? Because we're coming up.
Bring
I know,
it
I'm
out.
A little amped. I'm trying to avoid the spoilers.
Bring it
right?
out.
So, now, let me get Genesis 1:27.
Yeah, no spoilers. I don't look at it.
Nope.
The book of Genesis.
I mean, no articles
one.
About it. Nothing.
Nope, nothing.
Genesis 1:27.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image.
God created man in his own image. Man was created in God's image, right? So that's an order. That's divine. That's divinity, right? Come on.
In the image of God created he him.
Now watch this. We're going to wrap our heads around this in a moment, right? So it says, in the image of God created he him. Come on.
Male and female created he them.
He didn't make them male and male. He didn't make them female and female. Male and female created he them.
Boom.
Male and female created he them. Get Genesis 5 and 2.
The book of Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2. Male and female created he them. And blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created.
Male and female created he them. Male and female created he them. Now, Genesis 6 and 19.
The book of Genesis chapter
and I can,
6.
And let me tell you, I can go on and on and on about male and female, but I'm going to stop on that one and then I want to circle back because I want to address something. Go ahead.
6 verse 19, Genesis. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female.
They shall be male and female, even down to the animals that survive. Because you were talking about the flood earlier.
Right, right.
Even down to the animals after the flood, he said it would need to be repopulated.
Yep. We would have never had any more ducks.
Nope.
Or any more animals if it was based on.
Right. Man. Right. Homophobia is a lie. Homophobia is a lie, all right? There's a divine order, and this goes back to why I say it destroys our homes. It effeminizes the black man when you push that agenda because you're saying that masculinity is poisonous, and it's not, right? And I'm going a little fast because I want to cover everything, all right? So just cue this up, Genesis 2:22. But go ahead, say what you were going
to
say.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring out something real quick, because when you read in the scriptures in Isaiah 29, it tells you that things have been turned upside down, right? And this was the agenda of Esau, who the world calls the white man. That was his agenda from the very beginning, because he understands as long as he keeps the 12 tribes of Israel in sin, that he can reign over us.
Right.
So now, real quick, this is the definition of a matriarch, right? Oh. It says, a woman who is the head of a family or tribe. So the agenda with this feminist thing is to make the woman over the man. Now, I was reading an article this week with, I'm sure everyone knows.
And hold that thought. But to understand the gravity of that, because our people's minds are so polluted, they're going to say, what's wrong with that? Many of us,
right.
The woman was
right.
The head of our little individual tribes, right?
Right.
Our mom was the boss when we grew up. You know what I'm saying?
But not because our father was there.
No. Well, no. He was gone.
Right. Right.
And then
right.
Our step pop, she wouldn't allow him
right.
to discipline us
right.
and be
right.
it. You know, we saw male characteristic traits of him as a provider and such, but that's where it stopped. She was the boss, right? Mm-hmm. So we grew up in that. The point I bring that out is that we were able to come out of that with the proper understanding,
right?
Right.
Right.
It's not it because casually you say that and people go, there's nothing wrong with that. Some of us, listen, that's great. I'm not trying to say your mom did, maybe didn't do a good job. But I guarantee you it's not the divine job that God had intended.
No, right.
Because there's a
right.
divine order in how this thing is supposed to be set up.
But she also never taught us to be emasculated either.
Well, in that regard, she was good with that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, she told us not to be.
No, right. And then that's the whole purpose of it. It's not to take away anything from people that were raised by single mothers that their mother didn't do a good job, like you said, Cap. But it piggybacks off what we read in 1 Corinthians. There is a divine
order.
And then so a matriarch is a woman that's ahead of that particular family. And that's what we see evident today because Esau has flipped the reversal. We went last week into the Willie Lynch letter, right? Now, there's a popular ex-basketball player whose name is Dwayne Wade, right, who's in many articles catching heat because of his son. Now, this is something that he said this week. He said, I've watched my son from day one become into who she now eventually has come into. His son, and then says she. And then he says that nothing changes with my responsibilities
only thing that I got to do now is get smarter and educate myself.
Whatever that means.
That's the whole purpose of this whole thing of making masculinity
right.
this whole toxic thing.
By saying it's a phobia, by saying that you're biased, you're against these type of things. This is the results of that, right? And
absolutely.
And then how you think that his seed, if he doesn't have any other boys, doesn't go on? No, and then he'll say maybe it will because he'll. See, this is the craftiness of Esau and how they do things. He'll take his seed and put it in someone else. And
no, but guess what? It goes back.
That is still out of the divine order.
Exactly, and it goes back to what we were saying last week. It's so out of order that rather than just saying, "Hey, listen, son, this is not how you should be," because this is the order of God. He's now saying, I have to educate myself more now and become smarter on this situation.
That's what I was,
no,
to make him comfortable really, in let his me tell sin. You something. What's more appropriate is to say, I have to miseducate myself.
Right. I was just
right.
going to say,
right.
So
go
this
against,
man that was.
And go against that which is against nature, like it says in
exactly.
Romans 1.
Right.
Go against what I was raised to believe is
and
right.
Let me tell you something. There's subtlety in that. Because for him to say that is exactly saying that. And he's saying, I have to go against not even what I raised to believe is right, but what my mind and everything, my spirit mm-hmm. tells me is right.
That's right.
So I basically have to wash my brain of all this stuff. I need to indoctrinate myself with the philosophies and the understanding of this world so that I can be okay. That means he's not really okay with what's up with his son, bro.
Right. Yep.
For him to say that I got to educate myself.
Society has made him accept.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Has yeah. ruled his own house.
Right.
Society
right.
has
and
ruled his own house.
And that's one brother. Mm-hmm. That has power and influence. He's a celebrity, right? He's
Magic Johnson,
right? And yeah. Oh,
He has a lot to lose if he stands on the word of God. That's right. The other thing.
Right. Well, he's the, done with
we,
the game,
we,
bro.
We,
so
we
not
just,
really, bro.
Yeah, yeah. We just read.
Yeah, he's not getting
thing.
No more endorsements or anything
no,
like that.
No.
Well, he'll get endorsements now with that.
Of course, absolutely, uh-huh. right? But so the point is, see, as some people watching will say, well, see, that's the very form of toxic masculinity. Then you're against God. And if you're against God, I don't care to hear what you have to say. There's no rationale. There's no discussion to be had.
Bring it out.
All right? We're going to bring you what the Bible says, because that's what's going to bring our people back to harmony. That's what's going to bring our people back to that unification and the building of a nation. Remember, we brought it out last week in Revelation 7, where it says, when these are sealed, then shall that end come. And then we won't got to worry about these issues no more.
That's why Paul said that in 1 Corinthians, the one that Kat brought out, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So
right.
if there's confusion, then there'll never
right.
be peace.
Right. And that's confusion when you have man, man, woman, woman.
Exactly.
Acceptance of those things.
Right.
It's confusion.
Babylon.
Telling you God is not the author of that. So this is why there's unrest. This is why there will not be peace. Right. So now, the other thing that they say is toxic about toxic masculinity is what's called misogyny. Right. So they talk about misogyny, and misogyny, by their definition, is the hatred of and the contempt for or prejudice against women or girls. All right. Remind me to address. We're going to not yet stay with Genesis 2. What I told you, we're going to bring out love her as you love mm-hmm. yourself. All right. I want the one where it says we should prefer one another. Right. Okay. And then it says misogyny is the hatred. It says misogyny manifests itself in numerous ways, including social exclusion, sex discrimination, hostility, and androcentrism. Patriarchy, they say, is misogynistic.
Wow.
God says man, Christ, God, Christ, man, woman. They're saying patriarchy is misogyny. Do you see how they're lumping everything into these terms, these inventions? To try to destroy our people, right? It says male privilege, belittling of women. Listen, I'm going to tell you social exclusion. To what extent? Our scriptures say women should keep silence in the church, in the New Testament. That doesn't mean they come in here and they're mutes. It means that as we're teaching and instructing the gospel of the Most High, that we do not allow them to speak, because that's what the Bible says. Women should not teach, because that's what the Bible says. That's divinity. That's divine order. There's no sex discrimination.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
There's no hostility. Okay? We do not belittle women. Now, if you do some boneheaded things, then yes, you're right, just like we do to the men.
It's not belittling. It's
right?
correction.
Right,
it's,
correction.
We're not going to belittle
you. No, but they'll throw that.
No, I know, but I want
right.
to be clear.
That's good.
Yeah.
A disenfranchisement of women, violence against women, and the list goes on and on. So now, how could it be misogynistic Because when we read Genesis 1:27, it says God created man in his image.
Mm-hmm.
It says male and female created he them. Now, some people would say that means woman was created in God's image too. No, because now we're going to read how woman was created. But I'm going to show you how, because we read Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 5:2, that she's just as important. And we're going to reemphasize 1 Corinthians 11:3. So read this, Genesis 2.
The book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man.
Come on.
And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.
So now, if man was created in God's image and woman was taken out of the man, does that not make her special as well? It's not the same because it's not in the same thing, right? It's basically, I'm trying to show point out that this is not misogynistic to say that this is the order, because that's the way she was created.
That's right.
And if Adam was a god, then guess what? Woman was created from a god too, but not with a direct connection to him. All right? She was created from the god Adam was. All right? And then she went off. So no, the women are not low. The women, yes, the scripture says they are clearly the weaker vessel, because look at what happened by that dilution, right? Mm-hmm. And she listened to the serpent. The Bible tells you that women is the beginning of sin. None of that is belittling. That's facts, right? People like to say hashtag facts.
Bring it out. Hashtag.
That's facts. But listen, misogyny is a lie also. To say that that's toxic because of the masculine things, listen, we're dealing with God's divinity and God's divine structure and order. And he said it wasn't good that man should be alone. He says, what I'm going to do is, not only am I going to make you a woman, but guess what? I'm going to pull her out of you for you to understand how important it is and how close your relationship should be. All right? So he says she was taken out of man. Read verse 24.
Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
So he did it this way so that we can appreciate and value the union that is called marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not misogynistic. That is not a negative thing. Right? Now, back to 1 Corinthians 11:3. Now, with this being said, this is still the divine order. Right? Come on.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
And the head of Christ is God. So God, Christ, man, woman. Now, verse 7. All right, because I need to emphasize this some more, because I don't want people going on there saying, "Oh, you're bigging up the woman." I'm trying to point out that misogyny is not true, especially amongst our people, and that masculinity is not toxic. But what's poisonous is trying to create inequality when God didn't make them equal.
Masculinity is divinity.
He made them both divine. He made them both glorious, but he did not make them equal.
You know what's toxic? Emasculating a man.
Right. That's poisonous. Yeah. Well, because why? It goes against what we're bringing out in the family structure. Now, read 1 Corinthians 11:7.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God.
The man is the image and glory of God. Come on.
But the woman is the glory of the man.
Because she came from the God Adam. Because Adam was a god. So she is the glory. So what? This goes into Ephesians where it says we must build our women up. And we're going to get to that in a second so you can understand that we are not misogynistic. All right? So misogyny, and we're dissecting what defines toxic masculinity. And we're showing you biblically how the Bible is against those terms and how those things aren't right. So now it's really up to you to decide, what are you going to believe? Are you going to make men and the feminist movement your God and believe and accept what they say? Or are you going to go by what the Bible says and apply that and understand that?
Go by what Psalm says about who will rise up for me against the evildoers of iniquity.
Finish this verse.
For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man.
For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Because why? Similar vibe was happening here. And women were starting to try to come up with this. Listen. The feminist movement was perfected during the time of Amelia Bloomer, mm-hmm. but there was shades of this all throughout ever since Eve did what she did.
Absolutely.
All right. Yep. Because she was desiring to be like the Most High. That's what the serpent said. You too can be like God
mm-hmm.
if you partake of this. Right. Come on.
Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man.
Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. That's not misogynistic. That is divine. That is divinity. That is what the Bible prescribes. So, yes, the woman is important, and she plays an important role because from the foundation of the earth, it said they two shall be together, and they shall be one flesh, and we should be fruitful and multiply. All right? But there is a distinction. There is a divine order. And when you get misogynistic, you know, those things start to break down. Get me Ephesians 5. If you guys want to bring anything out, I want to get into some of the characteristics of how we're supposed to deal with women.
Yeah, that's peace. In a nutshell, that's one word,
right,
peace.
Right. And I want us to start at 21.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
We must submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. So it's talking about a husband and wife should submit themselves one to another in the fear of God. Mm-hmm. But there are rules to this submission, right? Because it doesn't mean 50-50. This doesn't mean everything is always done with God's intended order mm-hmm. in mind when it says this, right? The submission has guidelines to it and how we submit, right? So now, verse 22.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord.
You are supposed to treat your man like God. Like God. That's what it means. If you're going to submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord, submit yourself the same way you would submit yourself to him. Meaning, he is the patriarch.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one that rules and guides the house. You wouldn't argue with God. You wouldn't stand there and try rationale with his decisions, right? It says he is that. Okay, come on.
For the husband is the head of the wife.
There it is again. We read that in 1 Corinthians 11, and now it's being reinforced here. For the husband is the head of the wife. Come on.
Even as Christ is the head of the church.
Because it's symbolic of Christ's relationship with the church, going very heavily into the divinity of how divine order should be set up, right? So it says, and Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. There is no kingdom without the masculinity that is biblically based.
Masculinity is divinity.
All right? Biblical masculinity.
That goes against what you said, how we're disenfranchising the women. Because,
yes.
Because by default, if we get the kingdom, they come along with us.
Right. Right.
It clearly says, he prefaced what he said, the divine order, right, the peace, by saying we should submit us to each other, meaning what? We should go ahead and follow the laws, statutes, and commandments when it comes to marriage.
What it means is, right, marriage, I'm going to get even more detailed, right? I'm going to take it further, brother. I'm going to take it further.
you deep.
Woman, play your position the way the Lord says, and man, you play yours the way the Lord says.
And there'll be peace.
There will be peace because we God, so when you keep the commandments, all of them, and especially the ones that pertain to you, and man, you keep the commandments, and especially the ones that pertain to you.
Right, because we don't get a free pass.
No.
We don't get a free pass at all.
He's summarizing it here. So now, come on, read on. Well, how much time we got? 11 minutes. Okay.
Perfect.
We may have to do a part three, because we're supposed to go back to Willie Lynch, and I got some other articles here that I'm trying to bring.
Get enough for this topic.
My aim is I want to go line by line by the things they say are toxic.
Right. Right.
And then either agree, because there are some things here where they talk about violence and stuff like that mm-hmm. that is toxic. Mm-hmm. This ain't gonna be a thing where we're just gonna throw the whole argument out.
Nope.
But we're gonna show you through the spiritual eyes of how you see through that BS, because they have probably out of the, I think, 12 points that they have here, which we won't get to today in 11 minutes, have out of that, so give these lights, producer. They have I producer. and so like maybe 3 or 4 that the Bible actually reinforces that, yes, that is not right. Mm-hmm. And by definition would be toxic and poisonous, because those type of behaviors is not submitting yourself to one another in the fear of God.
Right.
So we break
right.
things down. We're going to go line by line to dissect this line. But let's finish up here, and then I'll throw it to you guys, because I know you guys are probably itching to say some stuff. So, right. So it says, and he is the savior of the body. So meaning if the man is not in his right place, and it goes back to how I say this toxic masculinity is crafty counsel. If you follow this stuff and you go with it, you subscribe to it, we'll never, ever get our rulership. And we know that's not true. At some point, it will change. Or at least we have that solace and that peace in ourselves.
Right.
That's a fixed fight. There has to be an end. But gosh, sometimes I'm tired of waiting. Right? So we want to know when is, you know what I'm saying? Let's bring this thing forward. He says he's the savior of the body. Now, come on.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
That is not toxic. That is not evil. That is not misogynistic.
Mm-hmm.
That is divine, right? Come on.
Husbands, love your wives.
Oh, so we have some responsibility too. Love wives. Hate them. Misogyny, what did it say? It's hatred and contempt of wives. The Bible clearly speaks against that. Come on.
Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
You should love your wife to the point that you'd be willing to die for, right? It says, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't mean some foolish thing like, oh, she's so great. It's talking about in righteousness, meaning that you are going to protect that family structure at all costs because you understand what it means. Come on.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
And our job is to sanctify and cleanse it, not pollute it, call me he and she, not pollute it, allow my children to be homosexual and say that love is love, pollute it and not do my best to make my man and my son the most biblical masculine man he can be, right? Because the new masculinity, I'm going to say, is the biblical masculinity. That's
right.
The new masculinity, because
yep.
that's what's lost.
That's right.
So we're going to bring back that biblical masculinity, because there is some masculine things where brothers go overboard. There are some things where brothers try to rule like despots mm-hmm. and not love their wives and do those things. Mm-hmm. And Lord's will, next week when we dissect this more, we'll touch on that stuff. But right now, we're doing the overview, and we'll dive deeper line by line, right? So it says, he sanctified it and cleansed it with the washing of water by the word, meaning with this Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to what he said in verse 31, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Meaning, do what the Bible requires of each of you specifically, fearing the Most High. Come on.
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing.
Because we are the guide of that church, because that's what Christ's purpose was, to try to help to perfect us so that the promises can be fulfilled that was made to Abraham via Isaac and Jacob, right? So he says, we present this woman and extend that home, by extension that nation, to ourselves, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it will be holy and without blemish. Come on.
But that should be holy and without blemish. So men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
He that loveth his wife loveth himself. But more specifically, because I said misogyny is a lie, all right, especially when they try to subscribe that to us and some of the behaviors that we display as repenting Israelites. Read the next verse.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh.
And this is why the Most High created the order the way he did, so that we can have an appreciation for the woman in the role that she is supposed to have. So appreciation is not a submission in that she needs to be over me, that there aren't gender roles, because that's what we call it in modern times. There are gender roles. There are things that she should do and things that we should do. We spoke about Titus 2 last week and how women yep. have an important role to play, the first line, children and everything. We're making a comparison to the Willie Lynch. It says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, come on.
But nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church.
Even as the Lord the church. Come on.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
Because we are all members together. Right? Come on. There's another scripture that says to be joint heirs together. Come on.
For this cause, a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife.
He says that this is the reason why you leave it, so that you can understand Christ's relationship with the church. And this is why it's a divine order in the way
those things in structure, because if you don't, then you're going against the blueprint of what the Most High has in store, how we get restored as a nation. This is how you understand a strong family is what builds a strong nation. Because if we can all just focus on ourselves, right? It's kind of like, what do you want, 100,000 or any multiplied every day for 30 days? If each of us were to focus on this, right? I'm talking about us as Israelites, were to focus on this, the fruits of that automatically will be a strong nation. Because why? We're going to be fruitful. We're going to multiply. We're going to bring, and then those behaviors multiply. It's more than what, you know, Noah, Shem, Japheth, Noah and them, they had it tough because it was just them. So they had to spread just with them. We have the numbers here now. We just need to do it according to righteousness. And to say that homophobia, misogyny is a masculine thing that messes things up. As I say, those fabrications, those are trigger words for people to jump up and do that. Now, what I mean is this. Can people not behave that way? No, that's not true. People can behave that way. There are men who will behave that way. But we'll condemn that too. Mm-hmm. But to throw that in the lump and say that's because of masculinity,
no.
That is not correct.
No.
Biblical masculinity prescribes otherwise. Right, finish the next verse.
And they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Right? It's a great mystery, but we speak concerning Christ and the church. Go ahead, read on, finish that.
Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself.
Come on.
And the wife see that she reverence her husband.
And the wife see that she reverence her husband, that she reveres her husband. And when you come with this feminist agenda, when you come with this toxic masculinity, when you try to demonize and take away the biblical masculinity of the Israelite man, you destroy the reverence a woman and that wife should have to. Men and it breaks down, keeps us divided. Anyway, go ahead. If you guys got anything, how many minutes we got?
Yeah, I'll be real quick. All praises to the Most High God, Kathy. Put the spirit on you to cover this topic, but also that this has been made news, right? Because you hit something very, very key. According to the Bible, the nation is grown in the home, it starts with the husband and the wife. It is so important that peace there and that there's unity, because once that bond and that unity is evident, it trickles down to the children. And then the children are going to continue to live according to us, say, of the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. The agenda that's being put out, calling this, and it's been out for many years, but bringing it out from an